Happy Sabbath, church family. So good to be with you all this morning as we study and we open the Word of God. You know, there's so many things going on in the world. And it's just so good. So good that we get to come together and to just spend time with the Lord, to support each other, to love each other, to carry each other's burdens, to spend time in prayer. Do you realize that there is a healing power that comes together when we come all together as a family of God and we pray together for one another? Do you realize that there is a healing power that comes from God when we are all praying together, united as a church, carrying each other's burdens? You know, there's many things that are going on in the world, but I think that one of the wonderful things about the church is that God has given us this church so that we can come together as a community of believers in God and support each other. And so, yes, things are rough, things are hard, but we don't have to do it alone. We have a support group. We have people that care about us. And we can pray with each other. And also, most importantly, we have God. God is on our side. God has said, I will never leave you nor what? Forsake you. I will always be with you. And so we need to remember that. And so let's go ahead and pray. And then we'll wait for the PowerPoint to be pulled in. And then we'll go ahead and start this morning. O Holy One of Israel, we come to you this morning in prayer, asking, Lord, that you would speak to us this morning. Lord, we love you. We are here, Lord, because we realize that there is this higher power. Lord, we realize that all these things that are taking place, we cannot do it on our own. And if we need, Lord, your help, we need the mighty hand of Jesus to help us as we go through this world. And so, Lord, just for a few minutes, as we dive into your word, we ask for your anointing power, for your Holy Spirit to open up our hearts. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember as I was young, 17 years old, going to college. I don't know if you ever had thought back in your life as, you know, life goes by so quick. You know, one day you're thinking, well, you know, I'm about to get married. Next thing you know, you have children and you look back and it's like, wow, it's been 20 years. Where did all those years go? But I remember I had just graduated high school. I was in an Adventist academy. I had just graduated, and I was heading over to college, 17 years old. And I remember so vividly, like if it was just yesterday, because this made an impression in my mind. You know, this anticipation of when you're going to go to another place, but you always lived at home and you had never known other place other than home. Man, that's hard. And I knew it was coming. I knew the day was coming where I had to go to this other college. But this college, as many of our Adventist colleges in our country, was not here. But this was an Adventist college in Puerto Rico. And so imagine, 17 years old, had never left home, and now I'm heading to another country and never been away from home. It was kind of scary. It was exciting, but also kind of scary. And I remember this so vividly. I remember this because My parents weren't able to take me to my dorm room like many of the good parents that we have here. Maybe you would ride your car and you help your son or your daughter set up their dormitory. You make sure that they have their mini fridge. You make sure that they have all their computer, their laptops. You even you help them make their bed. I didn't have none of that. I just had two suitcases with me. And to make matters worse, my parents were not going to go with me. I was being taken by two family friends, church friends, who were going to take me in their car. And once we got to the university, they were going to say, well, here you are. You know, you got to figure it out for yourself. They were just the transportation, but they were not going to look out for me. And I remember when the car started to pull forward, my parents were both standing there waving goodbye. And I was looking on the back seat of that car. I was looking through the glass and I was looking back. And as I was looking back, I could just see their small silhouette just fading down the distance as the car rolled down the road. And in that moment, it hit me. I realized that this was real, that this was happening, that this was it. I was not going to see my parents again till maybe after the semester was over. And so, you know, it was an emotional moment. As you realize that you're leaving home, I'm sure they cried on their side. I surely did on my side. And, you know, next thing you know, you just turn around your seat, you start looking forward, and you say, well, what do I do now? There's a saying that says, home is where the heart is. And if you ever experience being in another country or being in a different place, there is a comfort that comes to you whenever you're home. Whenever you're home, you can finally wind down. You can finally relax. You can sit on your sofa, on your recliner. You can be like, no one's going to bother me here. I'm at home. I can finally relax. And we live in this tension that we called in the in-between. In the tension of knowing that this place, this earth, this world is not our home. We are strangers and pilgrims looking for a better home that is in heaven. And so with that, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 as we dig deeper into the Word of God. We are in a series currently entitled By Faith. And today, we are under the title Strangers and Pilgrims. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8. The Bible says this in this way. By faith, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who made the promise. And so from this one man, And he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and what? Strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they were looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of a country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. And verse 16, just, wow, it's amazing. It says, instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. There's just some passages in the Bible, when we read them, we could just go home right now. They really don't need any further explanation. You read them, and I don't know, but you just feel encouraged. You feel encouraged to know and to just to read the Bible to see what God has for us. But if we dig a little bit deeper, if we go back to verse 8, remember, this story is taken from really starting from Genesis chapter 12. And if we read this story, we come to see that Abraham had to leave Haran to go to Canaan. There is an implication here. If we dig a little bit deeper, we see that God calls him to leave everything that was familiar and to go to a land that he did not know. He leaves his home country without knowing his destination. He lives in tents, not castles. And he confessed that he was a stranger and pilgrim on the earth, longing for a better country. Faith is not about knowing the map. It's about knowing the caller. George Knight puts it this way, faith is not belief without evidence. It is trust without reservation. Abraham's faith was demonstrated not by words, but by steps. You see, God calls us to step forward before we see the outcome. Obedience comes first, clarity follows. And this is so interesting to me because if we look there in verse 8, we're told that Abraham obeyed and he went. And here's the challenge for us. Whenever we hear this verse, it says, he obeyed and he went. He obeyed and he went. You know, obedience most of the time has a negative connotation in many of our circles today. It's seen as something, someone is being strict. Maybe even in some of the conservative circles, it's seen as legalism. But here's the challenge for us. If we dig a little bit deeper, it's if we don't have faith with obedience, then we end up having what is called hypocrisy. Because if you have faith that doesn't follow what your faith is about, then you end up with the culture, what I'm afraid of, and that is that Christians who don't do what they themselves believe. It becomes this sense of shallowness, hollowness, where we don't talk the talk when we don't walk the walk. Obedience is what gives faith substance. We don't just say it that we believe it, but we're stepping forward in faith. We are doers. Our faith is active. Faith And obedience is sort of what turns us from cultural Christians into radical disciples. It's something that is completely different. And here's the danger. Hear me today. Here's the danger. The danger is where we can have this title of being Christians without ever doing the Jesus stuff of following all his teaching. We can get to the point where we can have the title, we are Christians, but then we don't have the Jesus stuff. We are not following his teachings. And I believe that Abraham models for us a faith that is alive and works. And here's the catch with his faith and the challenge that we notice. Faith is almost instinctual for believers to believe and obey when things are hard. When things are hard, it's easy to have faith. It's easy to draw closer to God because we realize that we need God. It is extremely difficult to obey when things are good. Why do I need to pray if things are good? Why do I need to cry out to God if things are good? It can be very challenging to activate our faith, not just when things are hard, but when we have everything that we need. And this is what was going on here. Have you ever thought about this? When God presents himself to Abraham and he calls him out to leave Haran, think about this. He's leaving Haran, but everything is good. He has all the servants that he needs. He's in the comfort of a city with the city walls to keep him secure. Nothing is bad in Haran. Everything is well in Haran. Nothing is going bad in Haran. And I believe that Abraham expands our vision of faith. That our greatest threat to faith is not secularism. Our greatest threat to faith is not even global politics. Our greatest threat to faith is being familiar, is being comfortable to the point that we become complacent. And what makes the story so iconic in Hebrews chapter 11, in particular in the story of Abraham, is that they made their move to unfamiliar places when things were often well. Maybe for us, we've been familiar with God by proxy of growing up in the church. Maybe we've been familiar with God by growing up or going to church school or going to the academies or being involved in youth groups or going to events to the point that we have become numb or uninterested. When we get stuck with the familiar, we hit some spiritual dead end and so we stop praying. We're so familiar with the family dysfunction so that we get to the point where we just stay there. We remain there. We are familiar with church, but not active faith. We're familiar with Christianity, but not radical discipleship. We're familiar with the relics of the past, not the movements of the spirits. Now, if we want to live living faith, we will not find it in the security of Haran, but in the insecurity of Canaan. Faith, oftentimes, is grown in unfamiliar, maybe even insecure or unsafe places. If you look back into your life, if you look back into all the ways that God has led you in the past, most of those moments, I would go ahead and just say, most of those moments where you have grown in your faith and your walk with Christ has been on those hard moments, on those unfamiliar moments, on those unsafe places, or those insecure places, or those unfamiliar places in the unknown, in the darkness, when you didn't know what was going to come next. And the only place where you could move forward was like, God, I ran out of options. All I got now is just to trust you, to take the leap of faith, to go ahead and step forward in my faith, in obedience to God, and say, Lord, I trust the caller. I trust you. I may not know where I'm going, but if you're telling me to go to this certain place, this is where I need to go. You will not find it in the safety of Haran, but in the unknown of Canaan. Another thing here for you this morning, and I think this is what makes Abraham so iconic. In Genesis chapter 12, you can read the story there later. But if you were to read the story, I don't know if you got this, but in case you didn't, he doesn't receive the promise of Canaan, that Canaan will be his land, until he's already there. Did you catch that? He doesn't receive the promise that Canaan will be his land until he's already there. And here's the problem. Many times we want to know the end result. We want to be there. But God is leading us through. He is guiding us. By faith, he is leading us, but we already want to know the outcome. The outcome won't be revealed until we walk by faith. The first step is walking by faith. That is such a surprising, because for a long time you read the text, and it's telling us that him and Isaac and Jacob were living in tents while waiting to settle into the city. Well, let me guide you through this. This is what the author of Hebrews is getting at. They were camping. They were actually camping. They were tent dwellers before having the security of being city dwellers. And we might read that, and we might skim through all that, and we might think, well, we just read it on a surface level. But this is a big deal. You see, Abraham, and not just him, but his son Isaac, and then Jacob, were all tent dwellers. Think about the implications of that. They were in Haran, in the comfort of the city walls. They had all the servants that they could possibly need. They had all the food. They had all the animals. They were comfortable in the familiar. And then God calls them out from the comfort of the city, from city dwellers, to take a risk. Because it was a risk. To be in a tent meant that you did not have the city walls to be secured. If you were in a tent, meant that you were taking a risk. Anybody could come. Your enemies could come, and they could take everything you had because you were in a tent. Many times when we read the Bible, and we were like, oh, they're living in a tent, we're thinking, man, that's cool. We think about Dangerfield, going camping for a weekend. Oh, yeah, that's so cool. You know, we think about taking out our Patagonia gear or Cotopaxi or going to REI, you know, and let me try my new camping gear. This was not the case for Abraham. He had to take a risk to walk with God. So Abraham, when he practices faith, he actually faces a demotion. Did you see that? And I'm going to say this today because I believe that someone here needs to hear this today. when he experiences faith and he says, okay, God, I'm going to follow you. You're asking me to step out in faith out of Haran and to go to Canaan. I'm going to step forward in faith. He doesn't get a promotion. He doesn't get a pat in the back and say, okay, Abraham, good for you. He goes from Haran to tents. He goes from the security of being a city dweller into the uncertainty of tents. Faith for Abraham came with a demotion. But this is where faith becomes real, because this is where the rubber hits the road. Because in Hebrews, we are told in Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob were heirs to the promise. Faith lives between the tension of being heirs while your situation looks like tents. Faith is like is living in that tension while you're still suffering with some type of medical diagnosis or a disease or some type of suffering in this world, some type of challenge, some type of difficulty, but also with the tension and the faith of knowing that you are His. Faith lives in the tension. And you may ask yourself, well, that's all nice what you're talking about, what you're saying, but how can I be a child of God if all of this is happening to me? Doesn't God care? Doesn't God see my suffering? Doesn't God see me? How can I be seated in the heavenly places and somehow my life actually looks worse? Right now, when I'm actually trying to get closer to God, it's like when it rains, it pours. I feel much worse now than what I was before. How is it that when I'm trying to come closer to the Lord, all of these bad things are happening? And what I would say is, faith reframes your situation to say, just because from the outside my life looks like this, it does not mean that I am abandoned by God. I am remembered and I am seen by God because I am an heir with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am called son of the promise. I am a child of God. Faith is recognizing that our present circumstances are not ultimate. Faith reframes our present circumstances to see beyond what is taking place and to know that God has a better place for us. We are sons and daughters of the King. We are just passing through, folks. This is not our home. We are passing through. Verses 13 through 16, when we read this passage, let's go there. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 and 16. Look what it says. All these people were still living by faith when they died. Do you know what that means? That even though if my body is broken, even though if I die in Christ, believing by faith in Christ, it says here, they did not receive the things that they were promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. What that means is that even if something were to happen to me, if my faith is anchored in Christ, that regardless of whatever happens, even if I don't see it while I'm still living today, my faith is not in me. My faith is not in my possessions. My faith is not in what I have. My faith is in Christ. And when He comes, I will behold him. There is a better heavenly place. He will come and he will take me home. Look what the Bible says, verse 15. If they had not been thinking of a country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to call their God, for he has prepared a city for them. One danger for us is to forget our ultimate allegiance. Forgetting where we belong. We're so overwhelmed by all the things that are taking place. We're tired. We're drained. Most of us are exhausted. We're just trying to make it through one day at a time. And the danger is that we can forget where we belong. Forgetting that ultimately we are just passing through. Not to say that we put our head on the sand and then pretend that the world is not falling around us. It's not just going through the status quo or going through the motions or turning off the news and not seeing all the wars, all the dangers, all the bad things that are taking place. That's not what I'm saying. But I think what I believe that this text is implying is, where is our investments? Where is our attention? Where is our affection? Where is our time and our allegiance? And is it invested in our heavenly country? Or are we distracted by another place? Don't forget where you belong. There's many things that are taking place. They're weighing upon us. We are heavy burdened by the hardship and the pain of this world. But don't let those things take your focus from Christ. Don't let those things rob you from where you belong. And I think that Jesus is what gives us a good and better perspective. Jesus is the true and the better Abraham. He is the one who left his father's home to obey God's call. He lived as a stranger with no place to lay his head while he was here on earth. It is through his death, his life, and resurrection that he has secured a city prepared for us. Ellen White puts it this way: Christ was treated as we deserve, that we might be treated as he deserves. Because of Jesus, our hope is certain. He doesn't wander aimlessly. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to doubt. We don't have to wander aimlessly. But our destination is guaranteed in him. Because of Jesus, our faith is secure. We know that you love us so much. We know, Lord, that you are taking care of us and that you have a better place for us. And so, Lord, as we continue to live in this world, yes, there's going to be many hardships. Yes, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be pain and destruction in this world. But Lord, we are passing by. Let us, Lord, help us to know and to not forget where we belong and that we are just passing through. You have a better place for us. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.